This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful weekend we have been gifted with this weekend. And thanks be to God for the beautiful weather. It is good to see all of you here in the sanctuary and to welcome those of you who are joining us online. I'd like to take a moment to encourage you to register your attendance, and there are several ways you can do that. If we're here in the sanctuary, there's a registration pad that you can sign and pass down the row and back again. There's also a QR code in your bulletin, the next to the last page, and that will take you to links to register, ways that you can give. You can sign up for Wednesday night suppers. It's all very easy there. And if you're online, there's a link there you can place in the browser to register. We have several announcements as we gather this morning. Upstairs, right after this service at 9:45 in the Fourth Story Theater, we will have our new member class. It is a one-time class. It'll probably be a little extra long, but we invite you to come if you've been attending for a while and praying and thinking about making your commitment to be a member here. We would love for you to come. Again, that's at 9:45 upstairs. If you are a student, a graduate or an undergraduate student in one of our Nashville colleges, we always have lunch together after the 11 o'clock service. So if you're here at this service and you want to come back at noon, that group will gather in the back of the sanctuary and go to lunch together. Later this afternoon at 4 o'clock, also in the Fourth Story Theater, we are going to have a panel discussion with several of us pastors in the United Methodist Church in this area, moderated by Reverend Mark Holland, who is part of Mainstream USA. And we'll be talking together about the upcoming General Conference that begins at the end of April. And it's a great way to get ourselves educated about what's coming up at that General Conference, to learn together how we can move forward together. And I would encourage you to attend. You can come on over live stream. It will be live streamed, or come in person, and we'd love to have that fellowship together. Finally, this Wednesday night is one of our first Wednesdays where we have supper and learning together. We invite you to RSVP for dinner and join us for a conversation around spiritual gifts. And more information about that is in your bulletin. This morning, we continue our journey through the first chapter of Mark, and we see Jesus healing people in the town of Capernaum and then pulling away for a while by himself to pray. We have pulled away from the world for just a time together in this hour of worship, and the Spirit of Christ meets us in this place. So let us take a moment to center ourselves and prepare for worship.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Praise the Lord, because it is good to sing praise to our God, because it is a pleasure to make beautiful praise. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem, gathering up Israel's exiles. God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. God counts the stars by number, giving each one a name. The Lord helps the poor and gives food to all animals in need. Sing to the Lord with thanks. Sing praises to our God with one voice. Trusting that God's love is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us now make our confessions before God with the confidence of God's children. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer to you our silent confessions. Hear this wonderful news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now in this moment of worship exchange signs of Christ's peace. The peace of Jesus Christ be with you.
Join me for the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Love to have some time with the children who are here this morning. If you are here in the sanctuary, you can join us. These are closed for the communion service, but you can walk around this way and come up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll share a moment together just for you. Good morning, Maggie. Glad to see you. You're sparkly this morning. Fun. Oh, good. Fun, fun. Come on up, everybody. I'm so glad to see all of you. So glad you came to church this morning. I want to talk for just a minute with you about prayer. We are people who pray, right? We pray at different times and in different ways. Some of you may say a prayer of grace or thanks when we sit down to a meal together. You may say a prayer before you go to bed at night, maybe by yourself or with other people in your home. There are all different kinds of ways to pray. And prayer is just spending time with God in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes we talk to God and maybe tell God something that's bothering us or something that we're happy about. Sometimes we can just sit quietly and feel God's love, and that's important too. We just heard a story about Jesus, and he had had a really busy day. He'd been healing people, and there were all these crowds around him. And he got up really early the next morning, and he went away by himself, and he prayed. And that reminds me how important it is for all of us to make sure we take time to pray. And so I want to invite you sometime when the weather's really nice like it was yesterday, maybe to go out in the backyard if you have a yard, and put a blanket down and lie down and look at the sky. And just think about how much God loves you, and tell God you love God too. Or maybe you can go someplace quiet in your house and just put your hand over your heart and imagine the light and love of God in your heart and say, I love you, God. Thank you for loving me. Why don't we do that right now? Let's close our eyes, put our hands over our hearts. I'm inviting the grown-ups to do this too. Take a deep breath and let us say, I love you, God. I love you, God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Friends, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Will and Pastor Maggie, and the rest of you can go back and sit with family or friends. A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine told me about a funny cartoon he had seen somewhere. It was a one-frame cartoon, and it had two clergymen somewhere from, they were dressed like they were from the 18th century, sort of looking John Wesley-esque, you know. And one of the clergymen said, I work 7 days a week because, you know, they say the devil never sleeps. To which the other clergyman said, I think you need a different role model. It's a funny joke. It would be funnier if it weren't so true. I think we all know that current that's out there in our culture. It was personified as the devil in the cartoon, perhaps, but that voice within us, that attitude in our culture that you can never stop working, that you always have to be producing, that it's all about what we do that makes us worthy, that we always have to be available, that we have to be doing everything we can to meet all the needs in the world all the time, or else we feel guilty, or people will think we're lazy. Am I the only one who feels this way? Who feels that pressure in life? Just think about it. We have these devices. I don't have mine with me. I leave it in my office during worship. But think how crazy this must seem to people from 100 years ago. We all have this little device, and each one of us has our own individual number. And all anyone has to do at any time is dial that number, and it makes us go zzz. Or maybe it's on our wrist, and our wrist goes zzz. And there's somebody trying to get our attention. Or we open up our computers when we get to work and there are 120 emails. Just all of these needs, questions, asks, responsibilities, things before us all the time. And it is so hard for me, and I imagine it's hard for most of us, if not all of us, to turn the phone off, to not look at our emails, to make ourselves unavailable from time to time. We do need a different role model. And thanks be to God, we have a different role model. We see Jesus in our text this morning, withdrawing from the crowds, going away by himself, not leaving a note, not texting anybody, not telling anybody where he's going, and making himself unavailable to the needs in Capernaum in order to make himself more available to God in prayer. Now, hear me say this. There's not an opposition between what we do in our day-to-day lives and being with God. God is with us in all things, and we can say breath prayers all day long while we're changing diapers or responding to emails or doing surgery or whatever it is that we do during the day. But Jesus sets an example in this story of pulling away from doing in order simply to pray and to listen and commune with God. This is toward the end of the first chapter of Mark. And if you've been reading along in this first chapter, you know that Jesus has been very busy. When the book of Mark opens, he is baptized. He goes into the wilderness. He comes out and chooses his first disciples. Then he goes and preaches in the synagogue in Capernaum, and he casts out a demon, and he goes to Peter's house, and he heals her mother. And then Mark says the whole city comes and gathers at that house, and he spends hours healing the sick and casting out unclean spirits and teaching and outpouring and doing. Then he pulls away. And so one of the things I want us to see in this moment is that we have permission. In fact, we have an invitation, even perhaps a necessity as followers of Jesus, to make ourselves unavailable sometimes, to recognize that we need to go to a lonely place and commune with God. Because one of the things I think that happened in that time with Jesus when he was alone, I don't know, Mark doesn't really tell us, but I think he reconnected with that voice that spoke at his baptism. We talked about that just a couple of weeks ago. I think he got away from the crowd so that he could hear even more clearly that voice saying, "You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." And remember, that voice spoke before Jesus started his ministry, before he did anything or produced anything or healed anybody. It was just love for Jesus. And those times away when we withdraw from all the to-do lists and all the responsibilities can give us that opportunity to be loved, to rest in that unconditional love of God that is unique for each and every one of us and is within each and every one of us. It's easy to forget that in the scurry and the hurry of all the doing. But there's something else that happened in that time when Jesus was away. I don't know how it happened, but we can see the result of his prayer time. When Peter and some of the others go hunting for him and they find him and they say, "Jesus, everyone is looking for you." Do you ever feel that way? Everyone is looking for you. Someone needs a peanut butter sandwich. I got to make this email to the whatever. Everyone needs me. I got so much to do. Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus could have gone back to Capernaum. In fact, he could have set up shop in Capernaum, hung out his shingle, and just waited for whoever came, needing healing, needing guidance, needing things. But that's not what he did. He knew there were needs still in Capernaum. It said all of the city came to the house and he healed many of them, but he didn't heal all of them. But he says to his disciples, "No, we need to move on. We need to go to the next town and then the next town and the next town to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God has come near, for that is what I came to do." When he pulled away, he was able to get clarity. He was able to discern or re-discern his purpose. He was able to figure out in his prayers with God what he was called to say no to in order to say yes to the right things, to the things that God was calling him to do. This is such a powerful example. It has really hit me in the gut this week as I have lived with this text. Because I can just spend my life responding to whatever comes in front of me. And it's all good things, all good things. But how often do I take the time away to really discern what is mine to do? What is God calling me to do specifically? And so I am challenged by this text to put more of those times into practice. And this gives me an opportunity to share some exciting news with you. I'm so grateful to the United Methodist Church and to our staff parish committee for granting me 3 months of renewal leave this fall. Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye will be taking one in the summer. This is a pattern of life that our denomination has put into place for us clergy. And not every church is supportive of that, but I'm so grateful that West End is a church that helps recognize the importance of withdrawing sometimes in order to pray and to discern. And that's what I hope and plan to do in that time. To discern where God is calling me to make the best use of my time as your senior pastor, and to help discern where God is leading us as a congregation. Because here's the other thing. I think that we as a congregation are being invited by this text into a season of discernment. We've been through a lot over the past few years. Good things and hard things. We've been through a pandemic. We've been through four stories of a flood. We've been through a lot of staff change. We have celebrated our 150th anniversary. And I have this sense that God is up to something among us. That God is moving us towards something, maybe something big, something we could never imagine on our own. We had a presentation at our leadership meeting last Saturday from a ministry that's out of the North Carolina Conference, but they work with lots of churches and other annual conferences, to come alongside a congregation and help us look at what our building use and our property and the needs of the community and how we might do something big in our community. And this may not be the thing that God is calling us to do. I don't know, but we won't know unless we spend time in prayer and discernment. And we best not go jump out in action if we haven't spent time in prayer and discernment. So I want to invite you to join me in committing to a season of prayer, really praying for our congregation and our mission in this city over the next few months or whatever God's timing is, that the way will be made clear for all of us. And I want to invite you, as this text invites me, to take time for your soul, to receive this permission to withdraw and be unavailable from time to time, to let yourself be loved by God, and to take time to discern God's will for your doing in the world. When Jesus' disciples came, he got up and he went with them and he moved on. But he was ready and he was filled because he had had that time away. May even this time of worship, this time at the table, be a time of renewal for you, that as you receive the bread and the cup this morning, you receive the life and love of Christ within you, so that we can go forth and be Christ's people in the world today and tomorrow and every day. Thanks be to God.
Our spirit as we affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come into our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayer requests. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. And you can just place that in the offering plate as it comes around. Please take note of the prayer requests that are listed in your bulletin and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. As we go to prayer this day, let us remember and mourn with our beloved church family, offering comfort as we ask the Lord for peace in the lives of the family of Karen Weeks, who recently died, and also for Leon Radar and his family following the death of his wife, Jewel McGee Radar, who passed away on Tuesday, January 30th. The service for her is pending. We have roses on the table. We are celebrating, we'll say that. Oh, there they are, they're up here. We have roses in acknowledgement of the birth of Matthew Lee Barnes, who was born January 8th to Elizabeth Rust Barnes and Jamie Barnes in Grantsville, Utah. He's welcomed by big brothers Thomas and Grady Barnes and grandmother Jocelyn Rust and uncle Ethan Rust. And then for Constance Grace Dedeker, who was born on January 25th to Connie and Nick Dedeker. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of rest, thank you for the invitation to come away with you and pray. In the chaos and busyness of this world, we are grateful for your encouragement and your permission to be still and know that you are God. Speak your peace over us in the stillness of this moment. When it all feels like too much to bear, grant us your peace. For the sick and the weary, grant us your peace. For the lonely and afraid, grant us your peace. For the anxious and overworked, grant us your peace. In joy and abundance, grant us your peace. In new life and hope, grant us your peace. Breathe into us, over us, and all around us the words of Julian. All shall be well. All shall be well. All shall be well. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you who are joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, while here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
You may be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who walked among us and showed us the way of life. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He communed with you in deserted places, took time away from the busyness of ministry to rest, to be renewed, to remember who you called him to be, and to discern your purposes once again. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered in this hour and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And now, with the confidence of children of God, would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, in the family of faith, this is the body of Christ, given that you might have the life of Christ within you. And this is the blood of Christ, the cup of grace poured out for you and for everyone. We are all invited to come and receive. The table is set, and the invitation has been given by Christ himself. This table belongs to our Lord and not to this church, not to our denomination. And everyone who is here and everyone who is not here is welcome at this table. If this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation, just a few words of instruction to help you. We will be served the bread and the cup at the altar rails, and we invite you to come as you are led and kneel at the rails. Our choir will be served first, followed by those in the balcony and transept, and then all of us in the center will be invited to come forward. If you're able to kneel, we invite you to do so, or you can stand if you would like. If you'll have your hands open, that will let our servers know you have yet to be served. All of our bread is gluten-free. After receiving, you can stay and pray at the altar rails as long as you need to. If you're unable to come forward or would rather not come forward to the altar rails, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with the prepackaged elements, which are also gluten-free. If you'll just make sure I see you, I will serve you in your seat. We always have an opportunity to make a second mile gift to the mercy ministries of our congregation, and our February communion offering will benefit the 30-hour famine in which our youth are leading us. They will gather for 30 hours, March 1st and 2nd, to go without food, experiencing hunger, to raise money and awareness for two different ministries this year. The local ministry is the Villages at Glencliff, which continues the ongoing work of housing our friends who need medical respite. And the second ministry is World Vision, to help bring food and clean water to children around the world. So our youth and all of us are grateful for your generosity as you come forward, and the plates are placed at the sides of the aisles. Let us come now and spend time basking in the love and grace of God at this table. thanks for the grace that we have received at this table. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. May we go from this time and this place to be people of prayer, people who spend time in God's presence, listening and watching and waiting. Let us go forth from this time to be people of action, to see and preach and live the good news each and every day. Amen.